is alive and powerful, sharpening two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. From the sickness to doctrine of suffering, that from number 4, page 2 of our notes. All right, again, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to overrule the SCA if you've not already done so. Put God the Holy Spirit in his position of rulership over our lives so that we can once again this evening study his word and make it profitable on our behalf in regards to assimilated in fellowship and being enlightened to the truth via its very altar, God, author, God the Holy Spirit, through the royal chain of command, through the pastor-teacher and methodology that he has so designed for us to assimilate these things. So with that in mind, we'll give you the opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our usual word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, suffering, again, is a lot of all human beings. Believers and just believers are not excluded. And hence, it's a regular part of our Christian way of life. Jesus himself taught his disciples to expect it. Paul informed new converts that they would also face suffering in regards to Christian life. It's important that believers new to doctrine in regards to figuring out their Christian life understands the aspect of suffering and the fact that indeed all of us face it so that they are not thrown off balance and they are persecuted in regards to the truth and other aspects of suffering. Things don't seem to be, if you will, hunky-dory in all aspects of your life. And you see opposition and testing going on. Is something wrong? Is there something wrong in regards to doctrine I'm adhering to, or something wrong in regards to my own Christian life? Well, obviously, suffering is part of living a Christian life, and it comes about in a great way, simply in persecution for our stand for the truth. And through doctrine, you understand these things, and therefore are able to feel this type of testing in regards to your Christian life without being thrown off balance. And we're dealing with that very aspect of suffering and persecution for the truth in the variety and abundance of common human problems that we face. Subpoint C, Roman numeral 4, page 1, or point 1, in persecution for the truth. We saw Mark 4:17, John 15:20. Christ and his teaching with respect to his disciples again and the fact that negative volition is antagonistic to the interests of positive volition, and hence positive volition in and of itself. And in that regards, the world lines up either under one of two masters, and that is a satanic master promoting human viewpoint of life, or Jesus Christ, the Lord and Master, true Lord and Master, righteous Master, who promotes the divine viewpoint of life. It brings out the contrast in verse 20 in regards to persecution that we face because of our stand for the truth. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. Obviously, Jesus Christ is the master, and we are his servants. And therefore, we should not expect, obviously, anything more so or less than in what his own life obviously experienced in regards to the first advent. And if they persecuted me, and indeed they did, they will also persecute you. And he sets up the contrast of the reason for persecution. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And it is divine viewpoint versus human viewpoint conflict in the cosmos that brings about persecution. In 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul just tells it like it is. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, who's that? That's Paul's volition. As people who are willing to align themselves with the truth of Bible doctrine, will be persecuted. It is a future, definite experience that will come upon them and their stand for the truth. There's no and, ifs, or buts about it. So, too, another aspect of suffering, obviously, it comes through our physiology, through health tests. Again, there is the bogus ministries out there proclaiming that if you're spiritual, then you should have perfect health. Oh, really? I guess Paul wasn't very spiritual. He was essentially blind by the end of his ministry. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Obviously, part of the aging gene, part of the curse of living in a body, a flesh that is contaminated with a sin nature, is deterioration of the body as it proceeds towards a final existence in regards to his present state and form, which is called death. That doesn't mean that's the end of existence of the individual, because true life resides within that which is invisible, connected to our body, our soul. And physical tests, obviously, is part of suffering that we endure. Health tests and ways that health tests can come about through injury and things of this nature. Living in a society that is governed by extremely wealthy, don't give a hoot in hell about your health and put all kinds of dangerous chemicals in food and things of this nature and sell it, and then pay off the government to put a stamp on it that says approved. All right, okay. Tell you one day eating hot dogs and steak is, will kill you. Like the comedian says, well, you ever, next time you go to a ball game, order up their barbecue trout then. See what happens. See. Anyway, sorry about that. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't become discouraged. It's just all a matter of course of life, that which is set before us in our phase two. But though our outer man is decaying, that looks at our body, our physical body. And through age, it obviously deteriorates. It becomes weaker. You can't do at 60 what you used to be able to do at 20. Even though you may think you can, and you try, and then you end up going, ooh, I'm decaying. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. See, there's another aspect to life. And that is our inner man. Here the inner man emphasizes the human spirit that we're given as believers. That's renewed through the intake of Bible doctrine and staying in fellowship in regards to your Christian life. And that is setting store for us our new eternal state and resurrection body and all that will be attached to it. For momentary, it calls here our testing, our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, what we endure. Things we may go without that maybe we could have otherwise if we forsook doctrine. Living in a better climate or whatever for the health. But you're not going to give up doctrine in regards to these things. Understand, that's part of your SG3 potential. And our momentary light affliction, it's only for time that we endure these things, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Can't even express it to you, express to you, describe to you. SG3. And how magnificent and great it is. While we look not at the things which are seen, this is the path that we have chosen, that we obviously can have this correct read on in regards to life, but at the things which are not seen, we live a life by faith, where the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then Philippians 2, 25, 30. Paul referencing a fellow brother in Christ, but I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, one who is operating under apostolic authority. As Paul is their apostle, but he obviously can't be everywhere at once, and communicators would fill the gap. Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So he underwent a serious health test. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. God may test your life to the very point that you're seemingly clocking off your last seconds. But yet he keeps his protection upon you and delivers you otherwise. Obviously that's up to him. And he came to and faced the death test. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me. You never know why God may keep people around. As encouragement to other positive volition, those who are positive otherwise, to take them out, even though they may otherwise be ready spiritually, to take them out, to give them extension of life as encouragement. And here he's reflecting upon that. He's a communicator, obviously a doctrine, beneficial to Paul and his ministry. And obviously beneficial to the saints of Philippi. Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And a very, obviously, dear friend of Paul. Therefore I've sent him all the more eagerly, in order that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Noting that God delivered him, and obviously these saints were extremely concerned. And part of the blessing that comes upon with the deliverance is he is hand-delivered, if you will, to them as a form of encouragement to them and camaraderie and fellowship after the fact to rejoice over these things. Therefore, receive him in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard. Because he came close to death for the work of Christ. Because he committed himself to the ministry, see, to apply doctrine in his own Christian life, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. And he was doing this in order to maintain the doctrine of right shepherd, right congregation, if you will, in application. Ensuring positive volition is taught the truth of doctrine necessary for their own matriculation. So an interesting scenario there. Three, another aspect and area of testing is lupe, which simply is, in the Greek, means sorrow. Lupe from negative volition. Those who do not have an interest in the truth. And obviously, this can, based on one's relationship, bring about suffering, emotionally and otherwise. Luke 13, 34 and 35... Here, Jesus Christ laments regards to the negative volition of Israel. Here, looking at Jerusalem, which is to be, obviously, his capital of reign for all eternity. And at the present time, they are negative and hostile to him. And he laments over the loss of these people, these individuals, these Jews during this time, because of their negative volition. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. So you see, in regards to Jesus' attitude with respect to him, obviously he holds him very dear. As a people in regards to their lives, but at the same time he doesn't hold back and pull punches in regards to proclaiming and asserting what they truly are. They're murderers. They're negative. The ones who kill the prophets and those others that God sends to communicate the truth to them as a nation. And he would love to be able to gather them in as a hen does with her chicks to protect and comfort them but because they're negative, they obviously, they're not chickens, they had their own choice, and they refused to be comforted and to come under his protection as their Messiah. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. And I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That looks at the interval between the first advent and the second advent in regards to his return to Jerusalem in resurrection glory. So we see sorrow from negative volition, from Messiah himself, Luke 19:41-44. Again, same type of scenario, the city, and here he became emotional over it. He wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. People often accuse apology churches of being cold and callous, but they don't care. They just don't see everything that's going on. They don't really know. They don't see behind the scenes. See how many in the city saw Jesus Christ in this particular disposition. Now this is something that's going on, essentially private, fairly private for him, his disciples, etc. It's closed circle, and he expresses his grief in regards to their condition spiritually. But now they have been hidden from your eyes. That's because they're negative. For the day shall come upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank before you and surround you and hem you in on every side and will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you do not recognize the time of your visitation. As far as the cursing that comes upon them, there it occurred in 70 A.D. And Rome came in. Raised the temple, and later they came in and raised the entire city. Romans 9:1-3. Paul and his attitude in regards to his fellow countrymen, those close to him. Jewish unbelievers. Obviously, he had many associates and acquaintances as being a Pharisee, and being a Jew. And he says, I am telling the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. That's great sorrow and unceasing grief. It was a weight on him to consider, as it should be in regards to others that we know and are close that are rejecting Bible doctrine, you know, at the very present time. That we do not take any sort of happiness and joy from situations like this. And here it is in regards to the Jews. And he goes on in an exaggerated form, for I could wish that I myself were accursed. See, that I could wish. Obviously, this is impossible, but he is using exaggeration to truly bring out his concern and love for his fellow men. Cursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. With love for his racial family, obviously, for negative volition, that brings about Lupe because of their negative volition. For another aspect of suffering comes in the form of verbal suffering through verbal abuse. 1 Peter 3:16. Revisiting there as not long ago, as of recent, we went through Peter. 1 Peter 3:16. Keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, verbal abuse, here the emphasis by those outside the church, that those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. again 4:4. And in all this, they, the hobnob worldly crowd that hobnobs together, tries to suck you in. See, come join us. You don't have a lot of friends, do you? See, that kind of deal. You can be our friend. You can come run with us. It's part of the test of positive volition. Many cases, four walls test, that type of test. And when one separates and applies doctrine in this regard, then obviously they face retaliation verbally from the ones who want you to run with them, supposedly want you to be their friends. Well, you see what kind of friend they are when you choose your own way of life. And if that doesn't happen to include them, whoa, so much for you. And all this, they are surprised that you not run with them in the same excess of dissipation. And they malign you. Let them malign away. We'll see what crowd they're running with in phase three. Because guess what? We're going to be running with crowds in phase three. We're going to have our own associations and fellowships there. And they'll be unique. They'll be unique in regards to where we're at in our position. And accumulation of SGU3, obviously, we'll all have fellowship together. But they will be, if you will, the inner circles around Christ, etc. So you can run with the negative idiots now, pay the price in eternity, or apply separation, keep your nose to the grindstone, and reap the reward in all eternity. Five, other form of suffering is temptations from within and without. Obviously, sufferings come uniquely to us from both our own persons as well as those outside who solicit us to engage in things, bring about suffering, etc., via the STA versus solicitation by others to the STA, James 4, 1 and 3. An example of suffering through people not getting along with one another, that brings about suffering. There's a conflict in relationships. There's suffering going on in regards to the parties. And it's due to STA activity. What is the source of feuds and fights, literally, among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? That's your STA. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder, mental attitude murder. Wanting something that is not legitimately yours. See, and then you get jealous over it. You make stupid decisions, and in your mind, you're saying, oh, so-and-so, they don't deserve that, or whatever. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and feud rather than pray about it, acclimate to your niche otherwise. Be thankful, for when God does bless others. Now, what you do, you got to make an issue out of it. A lot of people, that's what they can't be happy unless they make an issue out of things. You do not have because you do not ask. See, prayer, a prayer of someone with this type of mental attitude really falls short. It is not complete. Their prayer life is something that they need to check. If you maintain an attitude, one maintains an attitude like this. You ask and do not receive, verse 3, because you ask with wrong motives. When you do pray, you're driven by energy of the flesh rather than isolating the STA and truly looking for God's will in the matter. I don't care what God's will is. I want my right lust number now. I threw in the lust because generally that's where the energy of the flesh comes from. So. Asking with the wrong motives so you may spend it on your pleasures. Here, the wealth, having physical accoutrements to satiate and satisfy one's own perception of what it means to be happy in life, through details, etc. Hebrews 2:17 and 18. Christ, obviously, he had no inward temptation. It was isolated, strictly sanctified to outward temptation. And because of that, he obviously has sympathy on our behalf, what we face with the STA. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in all things, and he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, recognizing the drive of the STA and the stupid things that it can make people do. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Six other avenues, obviously, through which suffering may come. And this just obviously partial list, kind of umbrella them all together there as we're tested in our niche, our life niche, A, financial. Can't just pick up to advance ourselves financially at the expense and sake of doctrine. Come you now who say that we're going to leave for a year so we can profit, make a little money. We're not really going to leave doctrine. We just need to make a little money. Yeah. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. You don't know when God may just call your number in and say, okay, let's see. See where you're at. Let's see now if you're qualified to get the prize. And you should live your life with that attitude. As is, God may call you to task and call you answerable anytime he so chooses. Obviously, if you're positive, you recognize he will provide for you. But if you're toying with leaving Bible class, your positive volition comes highly into question. That's the idea. B, your social life. We touched on that a little bit. Those who you hobnob with, the circles you run with, those whom you call your social friends. And it may obviously not be spectacular because of your commitment to doctrine and not willing to let these people, you know, become that closely associated with you and influence you in your life. If you don't think they don't influence you, well, then you have some growing up to do. We are influenced by those whom we are around. And C, job. Again, more or less thinks for self. May not get the raise because you're not willing to relocate, things of that nature. I remember back in the days of managing office buildings, we had job placement people in some of our offices. And I got there constantly harping on him, man. I said, I can put you somewhere. I can get you a job making all kinds of money. You just got to be willing to relocate. Sorry, that's out of the question. Well, what's so damn important here? You can take your wife with you, or you can leave her. I don't care. Whatever. Well, this is a church I go to. You can just hear it all come out. Church? Can't find a church where you go. They've probably got a church around here. Like, you know, that's why people look at churches. Oh, they're all the same. No, they're not. Not by a long shot. A job, being targeted on a job because maybe you stand for areas of righteousness that others don't. People don't like that. You're a hard worker and you work for a union. Ooh. I wouldn't want to be in that guy's shoes. The persecution he probably faces. Everybody else is wanting to be lazy. You're making them look bad because you want to work. One of the evils of unions. SD, boredom. Again, four walls test. Be applied in regards to the social life, big time. Part of growing up spiritually and acclimating in regard to God's plan for our life is acclimating to the niche that he gives us. And obviously the SCA is always trying to poke his fingers in there and twitch you and make you think that, you know, these things will never come about. It's impossible. There ain't enough people around positive circles to satisfy, you know, all the desires for marriage and things of this nature. Right? Just
cut God off the shores. Who cares? He can't provide for you, so fine. He doesn't need to. You're going to go out and provide for yourself, are you not? That whole attitude, not taking God in consideration regards to things. Yes, He can provide. And otherwise, sit in a cubicle all day long and look at a computer, four walls test. I understand four walls test. Of course, my mind stays occupied generally in that mode. But still, you know, the fact is when you don't want camaraderie, leave me alone. Work it. Come back when you got a shot of tequila and I'm done. E, application under our spiritual gift, another area. To sacrifice your time that you could use for yourself, you know, for whatever reasons, to apply under your spiritual gift. To sacrifice and give up things on behalf and service to others. The Christian way of life also has various blessings that parallel our common human problems. As we might say, with the testing comes a blessing, and vice versa. So the Christian life isn't all just, you know, dire, depressing outlook. Now, God blesses also. Along is an admixture of both. Mark 10, 28 to 31. In regards to the apostles, and they asked Christ, you know, fairly legitimate question. They've given up professions, households, things to attach themselves to His ministry. And, you know, this is God's will for the life. Can we expect blessing? Verse 28, Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, verse 29, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake or for the gospel's sake." The closest of relationships, businesses, professions, things of this nature, one's comfort of niche, and the caveat obviously is on behalf of service to Jesus Christ and the truth of Bible doctrine. If one does so on those grounds, what he can expect, verse 30, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, and children and farms. I'm not saying you're going to get married 100 times and have 100 parents, but you'll have relationships that will surpass the quality, if not the quantity, of relationships that one has received. And truly, it is true, the quality of relationships. I mean, I had a lot of friends before I was on doctrine. I was just a likable guy. I like to party. A lot of people like to party with me. But after I got on doctrine, my relationships changed. And while I can't count on 2 hands, the number of new friends I gained over it, I guarantee you it's over 100 of friends. And these are true friends. These are people I can tell you. I can at least count quite a number of those. People that I could call today and they'd come and they would respond. That's a friend. That comes and will help. And obviously, God will provide that too for each and every one of us if we hang in there with it. And obviously, it goes beyond just the circles of maybe one local church and those who you might meet otherwise. So, you know, business-wise, well, I'm waiting for the investment return. But many who are first will be last. And he says, now with all that, you got to understand, along with, verse 30, along with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. So it goes hand in hand. But many who are first will be last and last first. Those who put their own needs ahead of others, you can see them at the end of the line at the bankruptcy seat. That's the idea. But for our intents and purposes, we understand that God will bless us in regards to our own, our life, along with our persecutions. So Roman numeral 5 now. All suffering and testing are accompanied by comfort and encouragement from the Lord. Well, along with blessings, parallel in our testings, we also have encouragement and comfort that parallels our testings. 2 Corinthians 1, 5 and 7. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, many of them, much of it, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ, or equal. Those are equal terms. Abundant sufferings, abundant comfort. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort in regards to Team Paul, or Paul and associates, and the suffering they may endure for the ministry is for your comfort in regards to why people do suffer that are positive, and that is on behalf of camaraderie and application towards other positive volition. It's for your comfort and deliverance. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective and patient enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. God does all of this, brings all this about, suffering and encouragement, in order to maintain positive volition on all aspects and fronts, whether it's communicator or the sheep. The comfort and suffering is all of the communicators, all on behalf of the sheep. It's for their sake, to endure, see. And so it is, regards the population, reciprocating towards one another. But if we are afflicted, it's for your comfort, salvation, or if we are comforted, it's for your comfort, verse 6, which is effective in the patient enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. So we're all in the ball game together, basically. We're all in the boat together. We're all going to have our own experience of these things. But the thing to remember is that we are in the boat together, and it's all for the purpose and benefit for one another. To hang in there. You show up for Bible class, I show up. Yeah, the pastor show up. The sheep show up. It's a source of encouragement, whether you recognize it or not, to each and every one of us here. Should be. Oh, look, you know, we're not the only ones hanging in there with it. Other people are showing up. That in and of itself is a source of encouragement, especially for pastors. See, people really are still interested. We like that. But it's all here, and whatever you went through to get here, you know, it's for that benefit. It provides that benefit, whether we cognizantly are thinking about it at that point in time or not. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. So, A, the more you face sufferings that are undeserved, the more you can expect to be encouraged by God. That was verse 3. B, but here's the kicker. But you must be in fellowship and looking for the many forms in which this comfort comes to you. If you're out of fellowship, you're under SCA, you're going to disregard in many cases areas of comfort and encouragement that's there otherwise. Because you're not sensitive to what God's doing in your life. You're zeroed in on your own self. So the importance of battling the SCA, keeping it overruled, staying in fellowship, and keeping Bible doctrine in front of you. You never know how comfort may come in ways that are just totally unexpected, out of left field. You go, oh, wow, I'm unexpected, man. That's cool. You know, and you feel rejuvenated within your own self. Don't be down about certain things or whatever, battling your own SCA. See, obviously, complete deliverance from the test brings comfort. But God also comforts you while you are under the test itself. continuing with verses 8 through 11 of 2 Corinthians. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of our affliction. Now he gives himself as an example, Paul and associates, Timothy included, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, Asia Minor, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sense of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And this brings about an aspect of suffering, and that is to humble us and teach us to depend upon God. He puts us in situations sometimes that it really is impossible for ourselves to get out of it on our own. And we have to look to Him to make provision. And that's a test of our faith. See? Test of our faith. Like Peter walking on the water to go meet Jesus. His faith was intact, and then his faith was being tested. And he started sinking. There was nothing he could do about it. See? And even though he failed the test, God still delivered him. That has to be some of the more humorous times for Jesus in times like that. And he goes on, verse 9, indeed we had the sense of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. 10, who delivered us from so great a peril, death, and will deliver us. He will keep them going to finish their ministry. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also join in helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. The importance of prayers on behalf of one another. You know, while we encourage you got needs, etc. Man, don't be shy about letting people know. Pray for them. You know, pray about this, pray about that. And watch the mighty hand of God deliver. Then everybody can share, because everybody looked to God to do it in regards to the joy and the blessing in regards to it. You know, and don't go fundy on me on that. But, you know, still. And sometimes you see the attitude. A lot of time pride gets in the way. You got needs? You know, ask people that you're close to, you're comfortable with, you know, to pray. Things aren't going quite right in the household. Pray. Try praying, you know. Prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And you get a bunch of righteous people together praying together. Maybe surprised, see. Also, 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 8. Regards to, as we will see when we get into the chapter, Paul and the Thessalonians, King Paul. And the suffering they endured on behalf of the Thessalonians, and the suffering they're undergoing mentally, otherwise, in concern for them, not knowing how they're faring spiritually, etc. Verse 6, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us, just as we also long to see you. You left him in good shape. They were positive. They were definitely hanging in there. But it's been a few months now, and they've been under constant attack, just as he had been. And is their attitude still the same? Is their love still the same? Some people that you've been around talking for a number of years, you may not hear from every once in a while, they'll call you out of the blue. And just talk doctrine with you. You know, and they'll say, you know, good to talk with you. We're all still on the same page. Thank you. You know, and it is. It's encouraging. But anyway, sit there and wonder otherwise, obviously creates somewhat of emotional distress if you don't know. And here it is in regards to Paul and the Thessalonians. In verse 7, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. Their population helped Team Paul to keep their bootstraps, you know, pulled up and tied up, marching along in their own life. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. All right, Roman numeral 6 now deals with suffering as it comes in its two forms, either undeserved or deserved. And that means exactly what it sounds like. So, A, there are two types of suffering that the believer will face, deserved and undeserved. Deserved suffering, that which you bring upon yourself because of your own malfeasance to God and His plan. Undeserved is simply being innocent with respect to God and His plan, the truth, and you face suffering otherwise. So B, undeserved is that category that brings blessing to the believer, that God pours blessing upon for undeserved suffering. C, Peter, again, as that's when we did this doctrine last, is the epistle of undeserved suffering. That's his emphasis. That's seen in the expressions here, as we had again back in 1 Peter, one doing right, suffering for doing right, that's undeserved. 1 Peter, turn there, 2:15 and 20. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, He may silence the ignorance of foolish men, slandering, taking issue with you in disregards, is undeserved because of your stand for the truth, the application of the doctrine. Verse 20, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, in contrast to undeserved, you endure it with patience? That's deserved. You get penalized for doing something wrong. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, doing right, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. To hang in there with it, because it is God's will. Let's see. 3, 6, and 17, verse 6, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And yet become her children, ladies, married ladies. If you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear, in acclamation, submission to the right woman's right man and his authority, applying Bible doctrine, and that means keeping sin fear out of the picture. So, recognizing that God has as much interest in your soul as He does as your old man's soul. And then verse 17, for it is better if God should will it so, wish it so, will, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. Obviously, we're going to go under both types of suffering. We can't help it. We've got an STA. See. But it's preferred to undergo undeserved suffering. Deserved suffering has its proper place. You learn off of it, and you can turn it around to blessing in SG3 otherwise. But here the emphasis is undeserved. 2, suffering unjustly, unfairly. Chapter 2, verse 19. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Don't deserve the kind of oppression and things that come upon your life. A lot of times our suffering is at the cause of others who really don't care about us. See, it's brought about by their own stupidity, their own negative volition. And we're cursed by association. We live on this planet with a bunch of negative idiots. We're cursed by association. We're usually idiots enough with our positive volition. But then you throw into the mix all the negative volition. 3, prove zealous for what is good. Chapter 3, verse 13. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? A true harm. Harm that will harm you eternally. If you're doing what is being zealous, having a zeal for doctrine and application of doctrine, God is for you. See? 4, suffer for the sake of righteousness. Why? Christ provided salvation for us to begin with, so we could have God's righteousness. And we could also operate our lives in that realm. 3:14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. Their accusations, their threats, whatever. You know, if you're doing it for the sake of Bible doctrine, the good conscience, if you will, hey, you're blessed. You're imitating Jesus Christ. And that is 5, share the sufferings of Christ. That was 4:13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So that also at the revelation of His glory, the bema, rapture, you may rejoice with exultation, with boasting. 6, simply suffering as a believer, as a Christian. 4:16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed. But in that name, let him glorify God. You know, sticks and stones saying, you know, so what? 7, suffer according to the will of God. Obviously, His directive will is that which is in view, well, obviously, assuming His geographical will is included in that. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Again, what is right, doing right, is in view. So, indeed, the epistle deals with their persecutions by those from outside, as we saw and when we did that epistle, mainly verbal slander. Such suffering finds favor with God. 2, we saw verse 19, verse 20. For what credit is there? We read that too. Patiently endure, this finds favor with God. Ask the believers not to fear such attacks. That was verses 14 and 15 in chapter 3. G is not to be ashamed, verse 16. H, now deserve suffering brings no blessing, only cursing or divine discipline. That was verse 20, as part of the first of the emphasis of the first part of the verse. Also 3:17. It's better to suffer for what is right rather than what is wrong. And then compare 4:15. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. And that brings about the doctrine of divine discipline. When you step out of line, you disobey God as your ultimate parent, spiritual parent. He steps in and administers discipline in your life to help you get a hold of your SCA. And as recompense in regards for being disobedient experientially. So suffering under divine discipline. But then again, that could be beneficial if you learn from it. And you can plug in and be under divine discipline that came about through the act of disobedience and acclimate to that, orient to it, get in fellowship, isolate the STA, and ride out the discipline and collect SG3 on top of it. Is that grace or is that grace? Only through application of Bible doctrine and intellectual honesty can the believer differentiate between undeserved and deserved suffering. You've got to be honest with yourself, and you got to have the doctrine in front of you to determine, you know, what's going on. And like I said, it's intermingled, generally speaking, throughout our lives. The Jews in Jerusalem at the time of writing the book of Hebrews were under the danger of soul feigning and regarding all their sufferings as undeserved, when in fact much of it was divine discipline. And that's the subject of Hebrews 12, 4 through 13, where they were putting off all their suffering as to undeserved. And actually they were becoming malfeasant in their own areas and maladjustment to doctrine. And the writer of Hebrews has reminded them that God disciplines those who are disobedient to His Word. And that was Hebrews 12:4-13. And one does not take the honor to himself. 12:4-13. I think I'm dyslexic. You have not yet resisted the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against sin. And you have completely forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. See, they forgot these things. Nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline in the normal realm? They didn't adhere to the Spock mentality that they do today. Bring your children up only under the reward system. 8, but if you are without, no wonder the STA runs amok, but if you are without discipline, of which all have been partakers, then you are illegitimate children, not sons. You're like a bastard child if you don't recognize discipline in your life. That means you don't have a parent that cares for you. So that's the idea there. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time to seem best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, that He may share, that we may share His holiness. Help us get a grip on our own STAs in our life and maladjustments of doctrine. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. It's not meant to be fun, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, reared by it, afterward it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. It helps produce maximum divine good. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. As often, discipline comes in the form of things to our body. Injury, sicknesses, things of this nature. Make straight paths for your feet, so that limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Don't be stubborn and refuse it and come under more divine discipline and more pressure as God puts the screws on you in regards to your disobedience. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification with that which no one will see the Lord. Okay, believers are not to be surprised when negative volition persecutes and maligns them. 1 Peter 4:12, in regards to the surprise of running, not running in excess with negative volition. And 1 John 3:13. We'll call it an evening after this. Do not marvel, brother, if the world, that's negative volition, hates you as positive volition, as first-class condition, and it does. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to light these things in Jesus' name.